The Wall Street Journal said he's one of the most innovative minds in football.
He's a rat.
ESPN once called him the guru of the spread.
Scumbag.
Football Scoop labeled him the mastermind behind college football's number one offense.
Nobody likes him, not even his family.
He took three separate teams over a five-year period and made each a top 10 offense.
Yeah, but he's such a horse's ass. He was fired by future United States Senator Tommy Tuberville in the middle of the season, even though he had a 5-2 record.
No wonder CBS Sports said there's never been quite a coach like Franklin. He marches to a different beat.
Pariah, an outcast, a person or animal that is despised, shunned, or avoided. Warning, buckle up and put your big boy pants on. This isn't your friendly kiss-ass coach's show. If you can't handle the truth, eject immediately.
And now, from parts unknown, it's the Pigskin Pariah. The one, the only, Coach Tony Franklin.
It's game day and you're watching college football or even the NFL, but especially college football. What exactly are you going to watch? I'm going to give you some interesting things about what people do during a game, all the people on the sideline or the coaches in the press box. First thing is, does your team signal? Most teams today signal in plays to the quarterback or to even all their players. So when you watch your team, one of the interesting things to do is to try to see who is it that's getting the signals. Is it just the quarterback that gets the signals from the sideline? Or does the offensive line also get signals from the sideline? Do the receivers get signals from the sideline? If not, what does the quarterback do after he gets the signal? Sometimes quarterbacks will immediately look at a wristband because the coach sends in a signal, and the signal will on the band give them a specific number. It may say number 32. And the quarterback will then look at the wristband, and the quarterback will then signal to all the receivers and tell them what to do. He'll tell the running back where to line up and what to do. And a lot of times you'll see the quarterback then go up and down the line of scrimmage telling everybody else what to do. Most teams today, not all, but most teams are in no-huddle mode most of the time. It doesn't mean that they are playing fast. They can be no huddle and play slow. If a team does go to the huddle, many times today they'll do what we call a muddle huddle. They'll line up a yard or two behind wherever the ball is, and then the moment that they get the signal or the quarterback relays the play, they'll turn around fast, try to snap the ball before the defense can get lined up. And we call that a muddle huddle. And then sometimes there's a little bit of gimmick to where you can line up in an unbalanced formation or something like that in order to try to get an advantage. So find your favorite coach during the game, watch what he does, and see if there's any giveaways that make it better for you to be able to watch the game. The other thing is, what are the coaches in the press box doing? Well, let's start with the receiver coach. Usually most teams have two receiver coaches. Sometimes one will be in the press box, the other will be on the field. Or they'll have graduate assistants. Or if you're Alabama, you got 35 people with all different types of titles that have all different types of jobs. Some of those jobs are supposedly non-football related, but the one thing that you can bet consistently is every single college in America is cheating on whoever those assistant coaches are, that they're doing something that they're not supposed to do, which basically means what? You shouldn't have the rule to begin with, and no one should be punished, because the only people that are being punished are the ones that are just getting turned in by somebody normally on their own staff. So if you're in the press box, what are you doing if you're in the press box? Well, let's start with a wide receiver coach. You're watching your wide out on your side of the ball after the snap of the ball, or you're watching coverage. You're charting the coverage and you're saying, hey, they lined up in a single safety look and they were playing man free. They lined up in cover three and they were playing matchup zone. They lined up in cover two, and they were playing spot drop. They lined up in two deep safeties, and they were playing man under. They're charting that, and then they're relaying that information down to the offensive coordinator and or the head coach. Sometimes they're not relaying that information until the end of the series. It just depends upon who the play caller is, whether or not he wants to hear that information right then, or whether or not he doesn't want his brain to be mixed around by hearing all different types of voices coming in. I was that type of guy. I didn't like to hear anything unless you had a call that was going to give us something that we needed right then at that point. After the play is over with, if you've watched your group perform, then you should be making notes, physical and mental notes, of did a guy do something right or did a guy do something wrong. The other thing a receiver coach is looking at, are there kill shots? In other words, are there throws that you can make right now that are going to score a touchdown if you get in this certain formation or run this certain motion again? Is there a defensive player that we can run right by him because he just can't flip his hips? Is there a defensive player that is susceptible to a double move? In other words, we can run a post corner or a corner post, or we can run a slant and go, or we can run an out and up. That's who the guy in the box should be looking. He should be trying to make those decisions and help the coaches on the field, because the coaches on the field a lot of times can't see as well. The other thing that a coach in the box should do to the play caller and to the head coach is tell them the down and distance, where the ball is. The ball's on the left hash. It's third and one on the plus 42. The head coach should always relay to the coordinator whether or not he's got one play or two plays. As soon as a flag is thrown, they should tell everybody on the sideline, there's a flag. If they know what it is, they should say, we were offsides. It looked like that our receiver jumped early. The offensive right tackle moved. The moment they can get that information to them, the better off they are. If you can get a coverage on pre-snap and you can relay it to the play caller before he makes the call, or if it's a check with me call, then that's a huge thing. There's guys in the press box that can see so good, and they can look at a safety and they'll go, okay, I know they're going to be in a single safety look every time the safety does this. So they can relay that information. That is a huge, huge, huge advantage. They all should relay how much time is left if it's getting close to the 2 minute time left in the game or 2 minutes left in the half. They should relay information. They should say, call a timeout, 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 timeout. Or coach, you got to get a timeout right now. If you don't get the playoff, you're not going to have time for a timeout. All that information should be relayed as well by the receiver coaches in the press box. The offensive line coach in the press box is usually going to chart the fronts. Say they're in a three-man front, a four-man front. They had a nickel look. They had six in the box, five in the box. They're in a bare front. He should be able to draw the blitzes and the stunts that they run, and then he should be able to get immediate feedback if there's a mistake. Or he should be able to also identify if there's a mismatch. Hey, our right tackle's going to have help. He can't block that guy on an edge up the field rush. Or we missed the edge blitz coming off. Or we missed the A-gap. The center made the wrong call. He identified it wrong. He should also remind everybody if there's a positive run play that he can see, and he should remind tempo, we need to play faster, and he should remind the play caller that he should throw more screens and remind the play caller to move the pocket, rollout, bootlegs, nakeds, all that type of stuff like that. At halftime, he should be able to go in and draw up every single front they saw and every issue that they might have had. If you're an on-the-field receiver coach, then you should be in charge of maybe signaling, but also substituting your players in and out of the game. You should also know what the energy is of the players and know what the down and distance is and know what best player should be in on certain calls. If it's a run call and you need a better blocker, if you can get him in on time, it's not going to slow you down. He should be able to make that. He should try to keep calm and relay information to fix young players. If you've got young players that mess in their pants, he's got to stay calm to fix it. If a guy needs a good butt chewing, then he's got to either A, do it himself, or if he's not the person to do it, remind the head coach, hey, Johnny needs his butt chewed out really good. He needs to fix problems. He's got to stay composed usually to be able to fix problems a lot of times with the information that he's gotten relayed from upstairs. And if he sees a suggestion, if he sees a shot that you can take, a mismatch, then that's great. Rely that information. On the field running back coach, substitution. If you get a feel for a great running play, whether you're in the box or on the field, give that information as soon as you can. The best running back coaches I had didn't ask for permission. They just said, run this play and run it now. Pierre Ingram and Willie Simmons both did a phenomenal job at doing that for me, as well as Chad Scott. If you can find easy grass, in other words, your running back is running a squeeze route and nobody covers him, tell the play caller, coach, all you got to do is flip the ball out to my guy. He's one-on-one. They can't tackle him. Give a strong reminder when the defense is ignoring your guy on his routes. And a lot of times when a running back runs short routes, the defense just gives it up and they don't cover the guy. Suggest any plays strongly if you know it's there. Always be able to fix a blitz. If there's a blitz situation, you've got to know what it was and be able to make sure that the running back had the right call, unless you're free releasing. You want to make sure that you can fix problems when those problems occur. And if you can chew somebody's ass and that helps, do it. If not, don't do it. Let the ass chewer do it. Offensive line coach that's on the field has got to fix the issues as soon as he knows what it is from the information from upstairs. Give suggested help when he knows it. If he's got a good run play, give it to him. Constantly remind the play caller, you need to play faster, coach. You need to throw more screens. My guys are struggling, coach. You got to chip this defensive end. We can't block him by ourselves. And then again, if he's an ass chewer, then he can do that. And then he can also signal if he needs to be able to do that. Head coaches need to help. The biggest problem with a lot of head coaches is they don't help. All they do is hurt during a ball game. How do you help? Call a touchdown. Don't ask for permission. Just call it. Walk up and go call it. Don't go, what do you think about this? If you know something, tell it. Don't hide it after the game. Criticize the play caller. Give it to him right from the beginning. Tell the play caller the moment he has four downs. And don't be half-ass iffy about it. Tell him when he's got four downs. It makes the guy a lot better play caller. Remind the play caller to play with tempo and to have rhythm. Remind him to muddle huddle. Call timeouts. Your assistant coaches can't call them. Run down the field and call them. Don't ask for permission to do it. Just do it. Don't bitch about it. Hell, nobody can do it but you. Encourage and assist. Don't become a fan. I've had two or three head coaches that were just fans, just like watching the game, criticizing what you do. Chew ass of the entire team when they need it and work the officials. If you can work the officials and make a difference, work the officials and make a difference. If not, shut up. Leave them alone. And then finally, some other things that are interesting. There should be somebody that's charting plays. They're saying, this was good, this was bad. Highlight the good plays. Get it to the play caller in between the series. Same thing on the defensive side. What worked? What didn't work? Okay, you should have, watch the ball boys. How fast are they getting new balls in, especially on a game day? If you got bad ball boys, you can lose a ball game. The ball boys on one side of the field can win a game, and the ball boys on the other side of the field can lose a game. You got to make sure you do that. Your strength coaches got to do a good job with get back. There's a lot of strength coaches today that just want to flex their muscles on the sideline, let everybody see them. The good old school strength coaches, they didn't have to tell guys to get back very much because everybody knew. They respected them and they got back when they told them to get back. So you've got to make sure that you've got that. And then if you got a crazy head coach or a crazy coordinator that loves to run out on the field and let everybody see them, then you got to have somebody to pull them off the field. That should not be a problem. That should be one of those things that the head coach just tells them and says, hey, get your ass off the field. And if you don't, I'm going to fire you. And then they wouldn't have that problem. All of those things. And then finally, make sure as you're watching a ball game, look and see if there's any idiots on the sideline, because idiots can lose a game for you on the sideline with their antics, whether it's a fan, a booster, an athletic director. If they're an idiot on the sideline, call in on your favorite call-in talk show like Paul Feinbaum, bitch and gripe about it and complain about it. And I promise you, they'll probably fix it the next week. So just some interesting things to watch, watching your coaching staff on game day.
Thanks for listening to today's show. One, go to coachtf.com/podcast and leave us your email so we can send you your free download for our Pigskin Pocket Card, which gives you 10 simple steps to follow daily to ensure an amazing life. Two, do something good today for someone who can never repay you, and you'll have truly lived an amazing life. 3. Join us Monday through Friday for new episodes and download any of our episodes wherever you get your podcast or simply download from our coachtf.com/podcast. 4. Give us a 5-star review today so we can continue to put together entertaining and informative episodes. Always remember, do good, no repay.